Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, first of all, thanks as always for being with us, and the greatest felicitations for the season.
Oh, well, thank you. Back at you. I want to wish all your listeners that celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas a very happy holiday season.
So let's start here and talk about the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Have you been hurt as an individual congressman, because there's been talk about how the members of Congress are concerned about how this will reflect on their own electoral chances?
It does have an impact on everybody, I think, because, you know, it's been getting such attention. But I do think that these kinks in the system can be resolved, they can be ironed out, and that in a matter of weeks we should have a really up and ready system. But I would also suggest that in states where we have set up the individual exchanges, like in New York, things have been going fairly smooth. You look at Kentucky, California, Rhode Island, New York, they have had excellent results, and I think it kind of buffers the delegates from those, you know, the representatives from those states are somewhat lesser impacted. But one thing that I think we can draw from all of this, Alan, is that there's a huge onslaught of people looking to shop. I mean, that participation was so great that it probably caused that system to collapse, where the 36 states are in the Federal Reserve. You know, I think it's a point that we need to keep in mind, because the original design was that each state would run its exchange, and where there was resistance, they could lump into a federally run exchange, not imagining that 36 states would be rigid and resistant to it. And I think some of that is driven by politics.
You mean Republican-type politics?
Right, where Republican governors decided they were not going to establish an exchange, or we're not going to do the Medicaid expansion. So, you know, I think that a lot of this, where it's driven by politics, will get worn down by public
sentiment. Can we go back to
Medicaid?
I'm sorry, Paul.
Sure.
Can we go back to Medicaid expansion for a moment? It's my understanding, anyway, that the states don't pay for that. That comes out of the federal money.
That's, well, it's right. For the first stretch, there is a very healthy exchange. It does go down, I believe, to 90% eventually. But in the beginning, you're right, it's 100% assumption by the federal government, which enables a lot of benefit to come into these individual states. Kentucky, I had listened to an interview that they had done with the governor of Kentucky, and he was advised by his counsel. He had asked the counsel, would we be better off doing this? And the response was, you can't afford not to do it. And so I think where states, and tragically, where there's the highest percentage of need is where these states have not set up exchanges. So I think the pressure will bear eventually and the politics will crumble. But for now, it's caused some glitches in the system, and they have to be improved. Many people are angered about the rollout. Including the president and including yours truly.
Including you, yeah.
Including yours truly. So, you know, let's get this up and running, because the people want, they know now what the benefits are, and people are really desirous of enrolling.
Now, the whole theory here in the rollout is that unless all Americans take part in the risk pool, the thing will fail. What are the chances that the Republicans will get their way and the thing will fail?
Well, they're trying every which way. There have been 47 or 48, I lost count, attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, it's a one-house sort of political theater. It's costing taxpayers to print these bills to repeal. It's taking up time unnecessarily and awkwardly when we need to be doing, you know, very important priorities in the House. But you're right. If some of this, if a major chunk of participation is denied, again, by these repeal efforts, it causes a dent into the actuarial science of setting up a sound exchange. But to date, I think things look like they'll be fairly successful if we can just keep moving now after we get the kinks out of the system.
Will all this be forgiven, this tough rollout, once it starts to succeed, the program?
Oh, I think it would be. But, you know, it's a big if. You know, people have talked about the damaged marketability image of the exchange. And I think the president has chosen wisely to go to individual states where there is poor participation or denial for participation and working it on a state-to-state basis rather than going through the national media where they've determined that, you know, there's a daily story about, you know, weakness and denial of the Affordable Care Act when, in fact, the reverse is true in the human dynamic. We've seen it from our district perspective. Many people calling in, asking about things, telling us what it's done for them and how improved their situation becomes. You have to remember there are a number of situations out there that speak to pre-existing conditions. And being a woman by some of these companies is seen as a pre-existing condition. Too many pregnancies, acnes in toddlers, crazy situations that enabled people to cherry pick in this industry. And now that people find that, you know, if I've had cancer, I'm in remission, or if I'm battling cancer, lifetime caps won't be imposed. I won't be knocked off the system that has helped me. You know, a lot of talk was out there about the 5% of plans that were sort of disrupted by the Affordable Care Act. But when you look at some of these contracts, they were very weak. They didn't provide nearly the coverage that people needed. And if you're healthy and you're staying healthy, great. But if you're automatically impacted suddenly where you require more, you know, connected quality with the healthcare system, a lot of these systems, a lot of these policies failed.
Do you think that the Republicans understand that they risk alienating large numbers of people who want the health care?
Well, I think the political risks in their approach are tremendous. They have approached this in a way to discredit and dismantle and hopefully repeal. And I think that they go at it from that angle because they know if it's given a chance to run and run appropriately, it could be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so their political orchestration here has to continue. Otherwise, to allow it to go forward would probably produce a major focal point that would really condemn their past behavior.
I only got a minute and 25 seconds, but you moved up from the state legislature to the Congress. It's almost as if you'd never been in the state legislature. Did you ever wake up in the morning and say, I wish I was still there?
You know, I enjoyed being involved in the state legislature, its proximity to the district that I represented, yeah. The Capitol's proximity to the district I represented, and the ability to work with some local colleagues who I've known for years was fun. This is a challenge. It's a little different. I think the committees are delegated more opportunity, sure, in Washington, but both stops along the way had their joyful moments for me. Productive moments. You know, I was just with a group of people talking about mental health parity. And one of my favorite moments in my assembly career was being able to get Timothy's law passed, where if you have mental illness issues to deal with or mental health disorders, you're not going to be stepchilded by an insurance industry anymore. And, you know, to be able to work on the energy issues in New York, those were crowning achievements. And I miss that, but I take that experience and I put it to work at the Energy and Commerce table in Washington in the House. And, you know, at an advanced age, you now have the opportunity to meet 435 people from every section of the country that you would not have met. And it gives you a flavor of what, you know, these United States are thinking.
You don't even know what advanced age is. Wait till you're my age. Paul Tonko, always love to have you with
Thank
us.
You.
And when we come back, we'll talk about something else.
Okay, good to be with you.